Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading God's holy word as we find it in Revelation chapter 2, the words of the Lord Jesus to the church at Ephesus, written by the pen of John. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's give thanks for these words, which are written to the church at Ephesus, but also to us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And here we have the words of the Lord Jesus himself. We read in the first verse, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." And then speaking personally, "I know thy works. I will come." Let's pray to him and pray to the Father through him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come begging that thou wilt teach us from these words. We read elsewhere in thy word that as many as thou dost love, thou dost chasten and rebuke, saying that also to one of the churches. And we think of another letter that whom thou lovest, thou chastenest. And if we are without chastening, then are we bastards and not sons. And though thou dost write that no chastening for the present is joyous but grievous, yet afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. We pray, Father, that we may have the chastening of thy word. And we pray for those who have chastening in other ways. We pray that they might learn through it, and there may be chastenings and not judgments. We think of the many that have suffered through the ravages of nature, the floods, the earthquakes, the drought, the fire, the wind, and then all of those in war, and the awfulness of it, and the fear, the injury, the sorrowing. All of that, Father, one against another. Many times, one part of one nation against another part of the same nation, and especially those, Father, who claim to be one under thee, but do not come to thee through Christ, and do not acknowledge his name, and acknowledge that he is thy Son, of whom we read that there is none other name among men whereby we can be saved, and that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, not only in the past, but in the present. As Paul can tell us, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And thou art, Lord Jesus, the prophet, the priest, the king, ever ruling, ever teaching, and the one that has been the priest to die for us and to intercede for us now on the right hand of the Father. And we pray that that may be done for each one of us that hears and have heard these words to this church, that we may know the need of intercession, that we may know the need of thy prayer, Lord Jesus, and that thou would also teach us to pray and to do the things written here in these words. We give thanks for them. We also give thanks for other blessings, the blessings in nature, the blessings, Father, that we have that others do not have. We give thanks for the blessing of peace that we have and others, many others do not have. And we pray that those blessings may continue. We give thanks for blessings of health when we have it, and pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray for those in sorrow. We pray for our homes, the needs especially in the broken homes, the troubled homes, the children in those homes. We pray for the schools, the workplace. We pray for those in hunger, homeless, fear, all of that, Father. We pray that thou wilt look on them through Christ and especially teach them the way of repentance toward thyself and faith toward Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at another letter to one of the churches, by direction of Christ, who said earlier in this book of Revelation, chapter 1, he said, "What thou seest, write thou in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." This one is also in Asia with the rest of the other six, and he is stating to John to write. And as we already read twice, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Read in the last verse of the first chapter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So there we have the answer. And when we read, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars, he's holding the angel of this church at Ephesus in his hand, as well as the other six. And then he also says, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The Lord Jesus can do many things at one time. Here he is saying he is walking in the midst of them. The last church he writes to, the seventh church at Laodicea, is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's walked up to the door and knocking to enter in. All of these things are given by him who describes himself to each church in a different way. This one, as we just read, holdeth the seven stars, walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Then we see his introduction of the letter. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and which hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Here we see them knowing what is taking place with others, those that are round about them evidently, or even in their midst, say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. We see this through some of the letters. We see in the next letter, in verse 9 of the letter to the church at Smyrna, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. There are always those there. Also, Christ writes to one of the churches that they will suffer persecution. Persecution is troublesome. But if there are those that say they are apostles within and say they are Jews and are not, are within, it's much worse, much more dangerous. And they can, as Jude writes, they come in unawares. They are doing the danger long before it's probably realized. And well, this could be true of those round about them. It could be true of some within, as Paul had warned in his last visit to the church at Ephesus. That visit is recorded in Acts chapter 20, where he states what will take place. He said in the last part of that chapter, verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. This is how Paul saw the danger. In the 29th verse he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous woes enter in among you, not sparing the flock. If there's a flock in an enclosure, the door can be locked, the sheep are safe, the fox cannot get in, or the wolf cannot get in. But here, Paul says, shall grievous woes enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That is the dangerous thing. When somebody suddenly, as the Lord Jesus described it, wolves in sheep's clothing, they come as deceitful, they come as sheep, and then prove themselves to be wolves. Here, the Lord Jesus says, they say they are apostles and are not. They say it of themselves. When we consider the words of the church at Laodicea, We read also what they say. Christ said, "Thou sayest thou art rich and in need of nothing." But they were lying. He said they didn't know that they were poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. And then, them that say they are Jews, which are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. There, probably the word Jews is used for those who are true spiritual Jews, those of faith, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, that those that are not Jews outwardly, that are circumcised, but who have the circumcision of the heart, who have been dealt with in the new birth, and believe in the heart, and then confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus. That is the true Jew, Romans chapter 2. And here, going back, he says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." As I said, that can be within the church. It can also be outside the church. It can be on ones that say they are right with God. We have much of that today. We have those that I believe are enemies to God, openly denying that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. But there are some in some churches that claim to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, well, we can have fellowship with them. We can be one with them. We need to do like this church was doing. When the Lord Jesus commended them, he said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil." We have much discussion on, are these evil or are they peace-loving? They are taught to be evil. They are taught to do evil things. There may be those amongst them that do not evil, like there are Christians who are taught to love and don't love. There are Christians that are taught to obey and don't obey. As the last church, Christ said, they are lukewarm. He would they were cold or hot. There can be part of the evil church that is also lukewarm, and they are then deceivers. Acting in that way, some probably just careless, as with Christians, but there are those who also suddenly show their evil ways. That has happened in some countries, happened in some places. And here, thou canst not bear them which are evil. That is the word from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a past prophet, but a present prophet. On the right hand of the Father today. As Stephen saw the heaven open, and he saw the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He is the Son of God. And we need to make it known. He must be preached. The gospel must be preached that the Son of God became a man. The Son of God died on the cross. The Son of God shed his blood for sinners. That alone makes the true church. The church at Ephesus had that message. You can read of it in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 19, the beginning of apostle or the disciples there. Paul went there, Apollos went there, and then what we read was another visit that Paul gave to them, and we can also read of the church in the letter to the church at Ephesus written by Paul. So we have numbers of ways to know the beginning of that church, to know what they did and how they came into being as a church. Chosen of God before the foundation of the world, then called of God and quickened by God, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ by the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, together working in their hearts and giving them that blessing. And now these 60 years later, he is writing to them and telling them that they still know the truth. They know the difference between those who believe the truth and those who do not. And along with it, for the second time, he says, "I know thy patience." We read in verse 2, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience." And then again, In the third verse, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored and hast not fainted. Possibly even in dealing with those that they could not bear, them that are evil. But we have the word patience before that. We have the word patience after that. They did it in a right way, evidently. And sometimes when others are dealt with, there's not so much patience. When I think of these here, could not bear those that are evil, which say they are apostles, I think of David, King David, after he had sinned and did not repent immediately. After the sin with Bathsheba, the sin with Uriah, and not until Nathan came to him. And then Nathan gave him a story, or what we sometimes call a parable. And he told David about two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Describing this man with one little ewe lamb. Later, there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And then listen to what God says of David. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. He didn't sound very patient. He went to the extreme. He shall die. And then Nathan's words to David, thou art the man. Thankfully, David gave heed and said, a little later, I have sinned. These people are describing as not being able to bear with those that are evil, but they had patience. They had some right and good works. They had some labor. And they has borne, went through some trials, and had patience evidently in it. Seemingly what God is telling us in that third verse. And then, for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. We might say, well, that church sounded like everything was fine. They had works. They were laboring. They had patience. They had borne, and again, we're told the second time, they had patience and were laboring for Christ's name's sake, not their own. They did not faint. And yet, Christ has to deal with them strongly in spite of what he said of them. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Thy first love. What should be our first love? What's the first thing that will really make us thankful, make us love God, make us love our neighbor? Remember from whence thou art fallen. Think of the words that we sang. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. That's what Christ does in salvation. And that's what takes place. As David spoke of it, Psalm 40, was in a horrible pit. He took me out. placed my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. What stands out in that beginning? What do we ask for? What do the publican ask for? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Smote upon his breast, didn't even dare to look up, but prayed to God in faith, in confession, in honesty, in truth. And the Lord Jesus said of him, he went to his house justified. Justified. He had justification. It is something we all need. We could describe it in other ways. Forgiveness of sins. Pardon. Cleansed. Washed. Being made whiter than snow. And that is something that I'm afraid is neglected. Many don't come to such a place. They just say, well, I gave my heart to the Lord. Or I began to do the Lord's will. And some people think that is the most important thing. It is very important, but not the most important. We are criminals. We're in the prison house of Satan. And we are guilty. Paul describes it to this church earlier. At Ephesus, he says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom you all had your conversation, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. They needed a pardon. They needed forgiveness for walking the way they did, not just to take off that path, not just to be turned around, not just to walk in a different direction, but to be stopped and justified, pardoned. Paul said when he gave that last visit, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. I'm pure from the blood of all men. He also stated that he had preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the message that he rehearsed, recorded in that 20th chapter of the book of Acts. That is our first love. When we're crying for forgiveness, God answers it and gives that blessing in Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.